Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Today, I'm getting a chance to have a conversation with Miles Barnes, which I'm looking forward to because Miles, this is so fun. We've got a lot of Canadians that listen because, of course, I'm Canadian. This podcast was started by a bunch of Canadians. But increasingly, it seems like every week there's folks tuning in from different parts of the world and, of course, lots of the U.S. And there are so many youth workers in the U.S., so many volunteers that run youth ministries in the U.S. that it's fun when they get to tune in. And so we've got a voice from Miles. Tell people where you're from.
Hey, thanks for actually invited me to do this. I am from Peachtree City, Georgia, just south of Atlanta. And it's really just a giant suburb of the Atlanta area.
Yeah, you're part of the metro Atlanta. Would that be fair to say? As a foreigner
Yes.
coming to your city, I fly in and I'm like, this is all Atlanta, like Peachtree City. Gosh, you're in the heart of it. But I know there is some distinctions. And then, so we met each other at Orange and I fill people in. How did we connect? Cause it is kind of, I want to make sure that I get this right. We were trying to hustle conversations with random youth workers. And so did you get the chocolate? You got the chocolate, right?
I got the chocolate. I actually gave it away though. Sorry.
What was it? What was your first impression? Who are these crazy people throwing things at me?
Yeah, basically, that was it. And then I think we actually got into a conversation about Canada, just talking about how I somehow ended up in a mission trip in Cornwall, Ontario at some point and just let the conversation go from there.
Yeah, that's so good. So Orange Conference, for those of you that don't know, is a gathering of children's ministry workers, youth workers, and even lead pastors and executive teams. They've got something for everybody. And so it was in Atlanta in May 2022 is when we met. And so we were, our team, the youth worker community team was down there just meeting youth workers. And we brought Canadian chocolate as a means to start the conversation. But yeah, Cornwall, Ontario, that's a deep cut. For those that know Canada, it's on the highway right close to the border of Quebec and a classic town. For a number of different reasons. I got too many Cornwall stories, but we'll bypass that. Miles, what do you do in ministry? What's your role? What does that look like? Tell us a bit about your church.
Yeah, I am the director of student ministries here, which is mainly 6th through 12th grade here. I don't know how different schools do it, but our middle school is 6th through 8th and high school 9th through 12th.
Amazing. And how long have you been there?
I have been here since 2014, so that's 8 years.
Yeah. Okay, and what I loved about our conversation and why I'm stoked for you to share today is you were talking a bit about the experience that you've had in shifting the culture of your church, your student ministry in particular. And I think this is going to be helpful for us as volunteers. So give us a bit of the story on what the culture of your youth group was like before and kind of what have you been shifting it towards, and then we'll get into the practical ideas that will be helpful for us all.
Yeah, absolutely. As our church being so close to Atlanta, a lot of the sort of trendy thing is the sort of larger church gathering, sort of giant corporate worship. And when I first started here, that was a lot of what we were trying to model, was just giant room worship, big room talk, and then maybe like 15 to 20 minutes after for small group talk. And after a while, we sort of started seeing this trend of how a lot of people were coming to the big event part, but most of the change and actual impact that we were seeing as far as faith would go, it was with the small groups. And so we realized if that's where we wanted to see most of the change, we needed to actually focus on that. So we started looking at our budget and programming items at the beginning of the year and just looking how much focus was put on small groups versus giant, large amounts of worship. And we really decided that if that's where we want to see the change, that's where we needed to focus all of our resources toward. So that transitioned more into looking where most of the month on a weekly basis, they meet in small groups and we provide them dinner, we provide resources, we provide talking points as much as we can so that the small group leaders could actually facilitate a lot of what happens on our student nights.
Wait, so talk about the, who are you buying dinner for?
Everyone. We really looked at all of our resources, and we were paying a certain amount for worship leaders and speakers to come in, and realized that we could spend like 2/3 of that amount just to buy dinner for all of the students so that they could eat together and talk together and do life together.
Okay. So walk me through how this actually works, like the practical nature of it. So you've got your youth night. It's in your facility. Is that right?
Yes. Our weekly is,
that's where you bring in dinner for everybody.
Yes. We have a, sort of a gathering area. We call it the foundry. It's just this room where everybody can come in and hang out and eat. And we used to just like collect there, eat, and then run upstairs to do worship. But now, what we do is they come to the foundry, they hang out, they sort of figure out where their group is for the night, whether they want to meet in their actual designated room, or if they want to meet outside, if it's not a bajillion degrees outside or something like that. And we literally provide them with just meals so that they can eat together. And during the meal, we give the small group leaders the chance to facilitate the conversation and just to check in on their group and make sure that they're staying connected with what's going on in their lives.
That's wild. So this is before they even see any kind of teaching or experience anything else. It's like, we're just breaking bread together, we're hanging out, and the church is covering it. What do you guys get for food now? I'm kind of curious. Is it all pizza all the time?
Well, pizza is definitely the cheapest and easiest thing to do, but they do get tired of that pretty quickly. So we probably do pizza maybe once a month. Obviously we're outside of Atlanta, so we would love to do Chick-fil-A, but we meet on Sundays, so that doesn't happen. So we usually do, some chicken finger platters, or there's a local restaurant right across the street that we, try to get quesadillas or something from, that just trying to be supportive of them too. And it's awesome.
Man, that's so good. Okay. So you make this shift. We're going to put the money into the food instead of the big production. Tell me what that does to your production. And then I want to draw a bunch of conclusions, because there's a lot of people listening that are maybe in some smaller settings, but, so all of a sudden you're not paying for speakers and for bands. And so what does the gathering look like now?
We actually sort of restructured it to where we still do some worship, like actual corporate worship aspects of it, but that's once a month that we sort of kick off the monthly theme of what we're talking about for that. So we'll call that our worship night, at the first of the month. And then the rest of the month we call small group night. And so small group night, we'll get together and talk about that thing. And we'll also, once a month, try to incorporate a serve night where the small group leaders can meet and just figure out whatever our sort of project is with one of our mission partners is for that month.
Okay. So when you come for small group night, you still come to the building? Like, you still come, you eat together?
Yes, they still come. We had, during COVID, it actually gave us a lot of, chances to sort of, I lost the word. Sort of
pivot. Pivot was the word that everybody used.
Pivot. Yes. Pivot, try something new, experiment. And we actually tried to do these things called connect groups, where we had small groups meet at, host houses all the way around. Cause people were willing to give up their back patios, their backyards for this stuff. And so we were trying to find these areas that were central to all of our, congregation. And we actually realized that if you put it down on a map, the church is dead center, in relation to where everybody is. And so it kind of worked out that we realized that the church is a good location for everyone to meet and to be at. And we're lucky enough to have a facility that actually can, provide good, awesome small group rooms and areas for smaller groups to have sort of more intimate private conversations, as opposed to just a giant room.
So on those small group nights, did they still watch teaching, or does somebody still do a teaching, or what happens?
I will kick it off that, for the first probably 10, 15 minutes, I'll kick it off with a talk just to sort of get the idea into their head of what we're going to be talking about that night. Whether it's a lot of times we pull from Orange Curriculum just to get the topic, and because we use the Lead Small app, and so I can put my own questions in there and go from there. But it starts, yeah, it just starts with me doing a quick 10, 15 minute talk. I'll usually just do like a single illustration and a one sentence sort of takeaway so that they can break that into the room. And the takeaway is really important for the small group leaders, because my sort of philosophy on it is, if they get into the room and they start talking about something that they're going through and they never get to talk about what I talked about, that's perfectly okay. Because I want them to actually have the conversation and make sure that they're talking about what they need to be talking about, what they're going through. But I will give them a talking point. So like just one sentence central theme, like, hey, if you can't do anything else of the night, try to find a way to work this back into the conversation to sort of reiterate the issue, whether it's Jesus is always with you, or we can be there for each other, things like that.
Yeah. Man, that's so cool. Okay. So yeah, there's lots of volunteers and you're listening. And as a volunteer, you're probably thinking like, gosh, we feel that same tension of the big churches around us, because we know most youth ministries are smaller. You know, especially in our country of Canada, like it might be a few students or like less than 12. And then depending on their geography, you know, if you're listening and you're like, yeah, we know that the big church has got all the resources. And so we think about, oh, it would be so nice to have the opportunity to do those types of things. So what I love is that, Miles, for you, you kind of had the choice. You could have been the big, exciting kind of gathering point, but to move all your resources to focus on the small, I think is encouraging for anybody that is in the small boat and it can't do the big surprise thing or the big exciting thing. And for people that maybe don't realize, Atlanta is definitely chock full of huge, amazing, wonderful churches that have got enormous, you know, credibility online and, you know, music and like, anyways, all that to say, if you're looking for like a fun hub of big ministries, for sure, Atlanta's it. So there's no joke to be able to say, okay, we're going to actually steer away from that and try this different strategy. So what's been the response of families, students, and leaders since you've made the shift?
Well, starting with families, it actually gives us a little more time to talk to the parents. And actually, we have weekly meetings with these small group leaders afterward. If anything comes up, sort of a topic that we need to spend more time on, we actually can spend that time talking to the parents and saying, hey, this came up and we really want to talk about this more at small group. Can we have permission to talk about this topic, or can we dive further into this? Or we have a lot of, I mean, we sort of, sorry, we take pride in the fact that other churches around the area refer to us as the Jesus Church.
Okay.
Because there are other churches, and because like you said, there are a lot of like larger churches, and it's sort of turns into this giant contest of like who can do the best, most highest production value kind of thing. And they know that around here, like if you show up here, like we're not going to force, or we're not going to really focus on like trying to put on the best worship show. We're going to actually focus on Jesus. And the best way that we have seen to do that is the way that he did it, by working in small groups and building relationships and just being with people.
Mm. Yeah, so amazing. Okay, and so you put this emphasis on small groups. So then there's a lot, and this is where we're going to get hyper practical for everybody listening. That puts a lot more pressure on the volunteers, because now it's not about just being the chaperone, keeping people, you know, from lighting the church on fire. Now they're on the whole time. They have to be present with students as they're eating together. They have to engage the conversations after the fact. What are the ways that you've been able to set up your team for success so that they can really find themselves in this great role as a discipler of their small group?
Yeah. It sort of sounds counterproductive, but we have found that the more time that they spend with the small groups, the easier it is for them to open up to them, to connect to them. And we actually try to emphasize the fact that if the most time that you're spending with them is actually during small group time on Sunday evening, then you're not doing it right. Because what we want on the Sunday evening is to sort of start the conversation, to get ideas in their head, but then throughout the week, actually allow them to keep the conversation going, to check in with them, and actually look for real words. To look for real world scenarios where they have implemented what they've talked about.
Hmm. Okay. So how do you, that's again, even more to ask of leaders. So what are you doing to help them figure that out or to give them the tools for that?
The best thing that we tell them to start off with is we understand that every single person has a different level of understanding and faith level, and knowing that even at the very top, no one has got this figured out yet. And so it's perfectly okay to come in not knowing all of the answers. Actually, our first thing we say in leader training is it is 100% okay to say, I don't know. Because what we've seen through that is when they don't know, they can work together and actually come to other resources and figure it out, talk it out. Because we've seen leaders actually grow more by trying to do this with each other than just trying to have all of the answers, because none of us have all the answers. Another thing that we've seen is in order for the small group leaders to be pouring into their group, they've got to have someone pouring into them. So we actually started to form a sort of small group of small group leaders. Basically, making sure that the small group leaders have a way that they can sort of get the perspective of what the student is going through, of being in a group where it may be difficult to open up, but understanding that there are other people who are going through very similar things with them that they can work together through it with. And understanding that you're not alone in this is very important.
Yeah, that's helpful. Okay. And then again, like lots of leaders thinking, oh, that'd be nice to be, have this kind of focus, but it is a lot of pressure. What are some of the, cause I know we've talked a little bit about this, and I was excited when I heard you, even in Atlanta, talking about the ways that you train on some of the most practical things with your leaders. What are some of the tools or the ideas that you give them that are just like the most basic and yet end up being the most helpful things as they mentor the students in their small group?
The idea of simply allowing the group to be there for each other. So the small group leader doesn't necessarily have to be the one that holds the group together. Their main role is to keep the conversation going in the right direction. But really, a thing that we've seen awesome is when the conversation actually does happen, or when they see someone else, like another student, do something amazing that actually is good, is pointing that out, calling them out on it, and showing that, hey, you're doing what we've been talking about for the last month and it's working. Like, see the impact that you've been having, and really just calling out from sort of a bird's eye view of things that you're seeing the group do that is awesome, and letting them figure it out and sort of keeping them within parameters, but letting them do it together.
And I know you've sent some emails to your leaders with some of this kind of training stuff. So maybe if you're comfortable, we'll just say, if people are listening and you're like, okay, if we continue to double down on the small group thing, we got new leaders. Obviously we think that this podcast can be helpful, but also what are some practical training tips that you might give to them on just simple things like how to talk to those kids around the table, or how to, if you're going to ask them to interact outside the program, how do you interact with teenagers outside of the program? You know, in lots of ways we prep our leaders well by giving them a question sheet. But anything outside of that, like, how do you actually know what you're supposed to do? Like, end goal is we want these kids to follow Jesus, but like, there's a lot of roads that can lead us there. So what are the practical ideas that you've given your leaders in regards to even just something as simple as having a conversation with students?
Yeah, definitely trying to stay within their lives outside of church. Understanding that who they are inside the building isn't necessarily a representation of who they are the rest of the time. And so our goal is to help them understand that the church and the group exists outside of that. So spending time, communication with students is important, but it's all depending on how the students relate. Like if you've got middle schoolers, they're going to spend a lot more time maybe gaming with each other, whereas high schoolers are going to be a little more on social media conversation platforms. And so trying to understand and get a little more tech savvy can definitely help with volunteers. I would probably encourage them to ask their students if it's okay if they can follow some of their socials instead of just hopping on, because that may be a window that they don't want leaders to be a part of. But texting is always the number one route that we go with students. It is pretty much the only way that you're going to get a conversation out there. If you try to call them on the phone, they will not answer. And every now and then we will send postcards actually through physical mail, and they get it and they think it's hilarious and it's awesome. But yeah, if you want to get something across to them, texting is always the first option.
Amazing. And depending on where you're at, you always want to check in with your point leader and just see if there's some policies on that kind of communication, if you need to do group chats, and there's certainly lots of tools for that. And if people want to reach out, I'll leave my contact in the show notes, and we can certainly help with that in terms of finding the right solution for your ministry if you need a hand with that. Okay, so Miles, then as we're coming to a close here, wrap up, what's been the response here? You've been doing this for a little while, kind of this new, is it worthwhile? Has it been helpful for students? Have you seen more spiritual decisions? What's going on with the emphasis on the small group leader?
Yeah, we've actually seen an uptick on our weekly attendance as far as people coming to the church and group, in which we were kind of hesitant and scared and wondering, like, are we going to keep those core kids that really want to do it? And the fringe kids may not show up, but they've actually shown up because the conversations keep going and happening. And we've seen leader involvement actually increase. We prefaced this whole transition with, hey, we understand this is going to be a change and this may be a little more work for you. But after the first probably 6 months that we've been doing this, it really, like, they're happy about it. They're wanting to spend more time with the group. They're asking me for permission to take their group out to go bowling or meet them for dinner. And they're wanting to spend more time together. It's kind of fun.
Oh, it's amazing. And has it made a difference in the spiritual life of kids too? Are you starting to notice those kinds of things shift and change?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have, we used to do a thing called crew, where we had just kids who wanted to volunteer to lead, to just go above and beyond what normally happens from a student leadership point. And we had people like who would want to apply and come part of that. But we eventually got to a point through this where we had to sort of disband that because there were so many kids who wanted to step up and do it that we just sort of changed it to an entire small group challenge of saying, like, hey, every single one of you has a mission field. You can go out and be a part of this. And so we have seen amazing stories of students sharing the gospel with their friends who they see going through something, or kids opening up in areas that they normally would have stayed quiet or wouldn't open up about with complete strangers, because I mean, that's a scary part of their life. But then once they realize that other people are going through it too, that it's a little easier. And I don't know, it's fun.
Well, that's amazing, man. Cool. Well, honestly, super appreciate A, your heart for ministry and for these students, and then B, your thoughtful strategic shift, being able to say, hey, it looks like where life change is happening isn't in what we're putting our resources into and our emphasis on. And so being able to make that shift is certainly encouraging. And for anybody that's a volunteer listening, one of the best things you can do, I think, is to highlight for the point leader that you report to and just say where you do notice and see, you know, the spiritual decisions being made and how that might actually change and affect how you plan your ministry. And so no matter where you're at in the organization, gosh, we think it's worthwhile to be thoughtful and strategic and kind of take a critical view of your ministry on a regular basis so that we can be good stewards of the time and resources that we've got. Yeah, so we super appreciate that. We'll link, Miles, if you're comfortable, your socials in the show notes if people want to get track you down. But before we let everybody go today, any final words that you want to say to some volunteers? Maybe speak a word, if you would, to the small group leaders that are listening. And man, they've been in it, and it's tough, and it's been a hard season. And they try to make those connections, but it's just challenging. And they're wondering if they're really making a difference. I'd love for you to speak to that group right now.
Yeah, we actually had a small group leader with their 11th and 12th grade boys who he would come to me every week and just talk about how they never responded to texts. They never showed up to outside events, but he would weekly send out the message and like say that he was thinking of them, and like he knew that a test was coming up and like praying for them. And he was almost ready to just say that there wasn't any worth to it. But we actually had our senior banquet this last May, and every single one of them showed up because they heard he was going to be there, and they wanted to let him know like how much of an influence he had in their lives. So I guess my sort of thing to say would be like, keep pouring into them, keep putting into them, keep sending that message out there, because even if they don't let you know that they're hearing it, they are hearing it and they are taking it to heart.
Man, that's a good word. Well, thanks so much, Miles. Appreciate you. And to everybody listening, we'll see you back here next week for another conversation on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast.